1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. A House Oversight and Accountability Subcommittee holds a historic hearing on unidentified anomalous phenomena, often referred to as UFOs. Lawyers have heard from witnesses, including former U.S. military and intelligence community personnel. CBS's Natalie Brand.
A whistleblower who formerly worked on the Defense Department's UAP task force, David Grush, claims he was denied access to information on a government UFO crash retrieval program, something the Pentagon disputes.
Biologics came with some of these recoveries.
Were they, I guess, human or non-human biologics?
Non-human, and that was the assessment of people with direct knowledge on the program I talked to.
A recent report revealed the government is investigating more than 650 potential sightings.
Hunter Biden's plea deal is on hold after a federal judge raises concerns over the terms of the agreement on two federal misdemeanor tax charges and a felony gun possession charge. He has entered a not guilty plea. More from CBS's Scott McFarland.
Republicans have been emphatic and unequivocal over the recent months, saying that this plea agreement was a sweetheart deal, that it not only had that deferred prosecution agreement, which is exceptionally rare in federal criminal cases, but averted prison time.
The judge has told both sides to address her concerns and come back next month. The Federal Reserve has raised interest rates by 0.25 percentage point, the latest hike in its effort to tame inflation. Fed Chair Jerome Powell.
We understand the hardship that high inflation is causing, and we remain strongly committed to bringing inflation back down to our 2% goal.
CBS's Jim Krasula with the latest on residents of a city who are facing a water crisis.
It's been 6 days since the 40,000 residents of the Memphis, Tennessee suburb of Germantown have been told not to drink or use their tap water. That came after diesel fuel spilled into a local reservoir.
Really just not giving us any information about what's going on with that is troublesome.
I would like to know more or less how long we can expect this to go on.
No one can answer that question. The city continues to distribute bottled water. Jim Krasula, CBS News.
A delegation of Niger military officers have announced on state TV a coup against the president. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has called for President Mohamed Bazoum's release.
We are gravely concerned about the developments in Niger. And as I mentioned, I spoke with President Bazoum a few hours ago and made clear that we strongly support him as the democratically elected president of the country.
Autopsies on three U.S. Marines found unresponsive in a car at a North Carolina gas station reveal they died of carbon monoxide poisoning. The lance corporals, ages 19 to 23, were found Sunday morning in a privately owned car outside a Speedway gas station in Hempstead. This is CBS News.
Find great hires fast with Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring solution makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
If you're hiring, it can feel like you're trying to find a needle in a haystack. You can hope the right person comes along, or you can just use ZipRecruiter. And now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. In fact, ZipRecruiter has helped a lot of business owners find their needle in a haystack. Like Marco, president of operations at Telly Tires and Auto Centers. Because Telly Tires has grown a lot in the last few years, Marco needed to hire everyone from a receptionist to a store manager to a head mechanic.
ZipRecruiter helps me find all the right people, even the most difficult jobs to fill. ZipRecruiter helps me keep my business running.
Take it from Marco and millions of other businesses who've used ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter can help you find the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/FREE. ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
These fires in Alberta, they're just this very narrow jet stream, just bringing all that kind of smoke down.
What it does is those sunsets and sunrises. Yeah. I mean, you've just got this massive deep red disc up in the sky. It's like you're in a Star Wars, you know, movie or something like that.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Which makes sense when you look at the Civic Media lineup. I mean, we really look like the Cantina Bar as far as all the characters.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go. I didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family. They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges and have a brighter future.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding. I'm a speaker, I'm an author. Covenant House really helped me and really helped mold me into the woman I am today.
If you or someone you love is asking for help, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Lows of a low around 64 overnight under mainly clear skies. Winds out of the east around 5 miles per hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, highs level off around 94. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 66. Mainly cloudy skies.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 73.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Who's the most fun to drink with of the Republican lawmakers? Todd also confirmed that Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
You can always let us know if you are drinking with lawmakers at 844-967-2789.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry, along with Greg Bach on the board today. And it is Thursday at 11, which means it's time for public cervix announcement with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Doctor, are you still in Arizona? Are you? You look like you're not in the heat this week.
Nope, I'm back up north.
All right. Well, Greg, do you have any questions about women's health?
So many questions. No, actually, I do have one. I have one quick thing. No, when I have a question, I look it up. I don't fear these things like other men. I'm a real man. No, wanted to say something to you, Doctor. Is I was driving last Thursday with my mom, and we were listening to the show, and you all were talking. And I said, oh, Dr. Lyerly's on. That must mean it's time for the public cervix announcement. And my mom goes, I like that.
Yay, Mom. Yep. That's awesome. And Greg, I'm so glad you're here because we're going to talk a little bit about men's health, too.
It's about time.
Every once in a while. All right. So if you have any questions for Dr. Lyerly, feel free to text them in 844-967-2789. You can also call them in. And if you're listening to this as a podcast, you can always email us asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. My first question, though, is the new train of thought for some OBGYNs and gynos when it comes to pregnancy, and instead of expecting that the baby's going to come when the baby wants to come, inducing at 39 weeks. This is a new thing?
Well, I mean, within the last, I don't know, decade-ish. Okay. Yeah. So a big study came out, probably, I don't know, maybe 7 years ago, where there was evidence that inducing people at 39 weeks actually reduced the risk of bad things happening after that. So we think babies are done at 39 weeks. Like, they are well enough formed. Their outcomes are really good.
They're cooked.
So if we didn't, they are, I was going to say cooked, but
they're fully,
so
they're
like
fully, they're ripe.
Ding.
This one's got a good sizzle.
And, you know, after that, when you think about, like, bad things can happen. And, you know, I always am careful talking with you about pregnancy because I don't want to talk about horrible things, but bad things do happen sometimes in pregnancy. Like, for example, stillbirth. I've mm-hmm. seen people have stillbirth at 39 and 4. And if we had induced that pregnancy at 39 weeks, would that baby be alive? You got to believe that I think about that stillbirth on a regular basis, and those parents yeah. who suffered it think about it every single day. So things like that happen, but so do things like blood pressure problems, gestational hypertension, and preeclampsia, and, you know, other abruption, like other problems can happen. So if the pregnancy is done at 39 weeks, then there are advantages to inducing and trying to achieve a vaginal delivery. It also reduces the risk for a C-section. Babies continue to grow if they stay inside. And if it gets to be 41 weeks, they might get so big that they don't fit through the birth canal. So there are, yeah, big. Your face is like something I don't want to think about.
No, so, I was a 9-pound baby, so I'm preparing that I could have a giant child.
I was a big one too.
Uh-huh. So, and sometimes it doesn't matter. It's like the way they come out, or like a shoulder can get stuck under your pubic bone. That can be an issue. Like, there are lots of crazy things that can happen, which is why we can't legislate childbirth. Mm-hmm. We can't legislate pregnancy. We have to be able to make those decisions on an individual basis. But yeah, I mean, it can definitely reduce the risk, but you have to take everybody's circumstances on an individual basis. So what we typically do is we check your cervix right around 39 weeks to see how dilated or effaced are you. And if your cervix seems ripe is the word that we use.
Okay.
If you're ripe enough, then we can proceed. And the chances of success are really pretty significant if you're pretty ripe. If you're not very ripe and we don't have a medical indication, then often we'll wait and, okay. you know, just keep checking and recommend walking and intercourse. Intercourse is great for inducing labor.
Good to know.
Don't look at me when you say that. My
Mike
God.
Samson's going to be very excited about that piece of information.
Oh, thank you, doctor.
There are prostaglandins in semen, and prostaglandins help to soften the cervix and to encourage labor. So
is it an old wives' tale of like the walking on the curb? So you're like creating... I feel like I've seen very pregnant women do that, where it's like 1 foot on the curb, 1 foot on the street. And so you're kind of creating like this uneven like waddle. Is that an old wives' tale?
That sounds like a terrible rap song.
I don't know about inducing labor, but the thing I like about that is it helps to move your pelvis around, and that helps to get the baby more situated okay. and more like, you know, like tucked in and putting more pressure, more of that head pressure down on the cervix internally. So that can certainly help move things along. And we recommend that in labor, if possible, moving around, sitting on a ball, if you don't have an epidural, getting in the tub, being on hands and knees, whatever you can do. Midwives do this really, really well. Doctors don't do it nearly as well, but just, you know, moving our patients around so that they're moving their pelvis and the baby can get really tucked in there.
So I have to admit that, and this is anecdotal and I am not a doctor, but of my friends who've had babies, the what feels like when I hear their birthing story, the disproportionate amount of women who've been induced, then had like 30-hour labors only to eventually have to get a C-section anyways, which sounds like a living nightmare. It's like all of the worst things, like a super long labor and a C-section on top of it. And so is that a risk with induction? It's like this kid's just not ready to come out, and we induced anyways, and now this is a scenario. Or is that just random that I have had that many? I would say it's 6 of my friends. That was their birth story.
You have to start with why. Why were they being induced? Was it elective because they were 39 weeks and they were just ready to have their baby? Or was there a medical reason? Often it's really common to have blood pressure problems or advanced maternal age. If you are over 35, maybe you would consider having your baby sooner than later. Okay. So you have to start with that reason, that indication for induction. If it's totally elective and we start an induction, like say we started using some cervical ripening medication and it wasn't working, you can always just stop and go home, sleep, relax. Come back a couple days later, see if your cervix is starting to change. If it's an elective induction, there's no medical reason to do it. We don't have to push it. But if there is a reason that we need to get you delivered, a maternal reason or a fetal reason, then often we'll continue to push. And that's typically where we end up with these long inductions that do have a higher risk of cesarean delivery, often because we start with an unripe cervix that's not quite ready.
Got it. Okay. What are the other, I guess, kind of just to wrap it up, but like, what are the other risks of induction?
Yeah. So failure, like we just talked about, that depends on your cervical status. Once we give you medications, and there are a couple different ways to do it, if we cause too many contractions or if the baby is not tolerating it well, we can cause fetal stress. And we're always watching on the monitor when we are applying an intervention. So if we cause fetal stress and we can't back off on it, we can't stop the induction, then that could end up in a C-section. And then there's a rare risk of infection, especially if we've broken the bag of waters, the risk of infection, the clock kind of starts at that point. So the risk of infection goes up. So I always like to try to get my patient delivered within 24 hours after we break her bag or after her bag breaks on its own.
Got it. So as far as my personal situation, as far as like the expectation that likely at 37 years old, that I should be totally comfortable with being induced at 39 weeks is like, there's no red flags there.
Unless you develop some sort of a pregnancy complication or a blood pressure problem, I don't think you need to worry about it. And I would even say after 37 weeks, which is technically term, that's early term, you can start doing things to kind of bring it on yourself, like having sex, like nipple stimulation. That is a great way. I know it sounds crazy,
I'm not embarrassed. I just love thinking about our listeners right now and nipple stimulation.
Or you can take it to the curb, take it to the street. Oh, that's a new song. I'm writing that song now. That's mine. That's all mine, baby.
That's where Greg goes to distract us from nipple stimulation. But I'm going to bring us back to nipple stimulation.
Have at
it. You can pump, or you can actually, like, your partner can do nipple stimulation. But that causes your body to release oxytocin. And oxytocin is the hormone that you make that causes uterine contractions. You may have heard of Pitocin, which is the medicine that we can give people. That's the man-made version of oxytocin. So if you can make your own oxytocin by, you know, pumping or stimulating your nipples, then you could induce your own labor. Don't do it before 37 weeks, though.
Okay. Yeah, that was the big surprise yesterday, because I had, you know, my maternity plan and my maternity leave. Like, I was like, this is the week I'm going to leave. And my doctor's yesterday is like, well, like, she could come sooner than that. So maybe have a contingency plan that, like, Greg and Jane are taking over sooner than the last week of September. So we will see. But if you have any questions for Dr. Lyerly, we still have one more segment with her. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. We'll take your texts. We'll take your calls. Otherwise, big news with birth control that we'll talk about when we come back. And also another drug for Alzheimer's. So we're going to talk about both of those when we come back for a public cervix announcement on As Goes Wisconsin. Stay tuned.
It doesn't hurt, feels good to help. And when you give blood, you provide a life-saving difference for others. The need doesn't take a summer break, so we have a challenge for you, started by Civic Media's Earl Ingram.
Congratulations to all those people and all of you who donate blood.
Take a selfie while giving blood, then post it along with hashtag Civic Pints. Give blood and you could get a prize, too. Find challenge details and a donation center near you at civicmedia.us/giveblood. civicmedia.us/giveblood.
If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
4 degrees.
I am Kristen Bry. He is Greg Bach on the board today. And we are talking to Dr. Kristen Lyerly because it is that time of the week when we do public cervix announcement. And we actually have a caller having a question. Mark from the SAC, what is your question for the doctor?
Well, it's not really a question, but I really appreciate the discussion here that I had a human sexuality class way back when. This is back in the late 70s when I was in college, and I learned all the lady parts, and that because I figured, if I'm going to be engaged with women, that I should actually know what's going on rather than just being ignorant about it. And I think it would be a far better world if we introduced young women and young men, and at some point in school, with comprehensive sex education, because I think we'd have far fewer issues when it comes to, unwanted pregnancies, and people wouldn't be so uptight about stuff. That it just amazes me how we're backsliding here, and I smile every time I hear the public cervix announcement. But,
that's the goal.
Winners and Republicans, but I really appreciate it, and thanks so much for what you're doing here, and I appreciate you coming on and, trying to educate people, because it's something that, unfortunately, Republicans seem to be diseducating people these days.
Well, thanks for the call, Mark. I'm sure that sexuality class served you well in life in more ways than one. I would say to this day, one of my favorite courses in college was the evolution of human sexuality that took like an evolutionary biology look at all of the things that we do as humans, from marriage to mating to child like rearing and all of the different things, and looked at primates, but also looked at like different kinds of societies, whether it was agriculture or hunting and gathering. It was fascinating. And I think you can buy the book. It was by Malcolm Potts, and it's called Ever Since Adam and Eve. That was our reader. But Ever Since Adam and Eve, The Evolution of Human Sexuality.
Can't recommend it enough. It is fascinating. And I am biased because I did work as like a sex health educator for a little while. So I find this stuff fascinating. I know some people blush, but I think it's very important. So I am very happy that you are here, Dr. Lyerly, every week for us to talk about it in a mature, informative way.
Me too. And, you know, as long as we're giving book recommendations, and Mark, thank you for the call and your thoughtful comments. There is a book called The Guide to Getting It On. And it is like the...
I had that book. I had that book at 17. So this obviously was an interest that started early.
Yeah. It's a great book. And it really, it explains all of the things, all of the questions that you have that you didn't know the answers to. They're in this book. And it really teaches you how to... I mean, most of us at some point in our lives have some sort of sexual contact. Mm-hmm. It teaches you how to do it well and in a healthy way. And man, if everybody had the strength to ask those questions and to, it's just so hard. It's so hard to talk about these things, but the book is a great way to get that information without having to, you know, ask another person. So The Guide to Getting It On, highly recommended.
It's also thicker than any dictionary you own, I promise.
No.
It is a thick, informative, well-researched book.
No comment.
It is like, it's...
And easy to read. And you can just read it in chapters. Like, if there's a certain thing you're interested in, like, go to the index, read it. It takes like a minute, and then you're like, good.
Got it. All right. Well, we only have a couple minutes left. Which of the two new, the drug for Alzheimer's or the over-the-counter birth control that just got approved, which one should we touch on before we got to let you go?
Oh, Kristen, the pill. Let's talk about the pill because this is such a big deal. Yeah. So, you know, birth control pills have been around since 1960. So for a long time, we have been trying to get some sort of a pill over the counter for a very long time. Almost 100 other countries have an over-the-counter pill option. And we, in January or February, somewhere early next year, are going to have one too. It's the oat pill. We talked about this in the past. The oat pill.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that just happened this morning, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the notification just came in this morning. This has been a long time coming, and we knew it had unanimous approval from a pre-FDA board a couple months ago. So we've known that this has been on its way, and it is finally here. And it couldn't come at a better time because, you know, now in the post-Dobbs era, although Republicans want to paint all of us as irresponsible people who just get pregnant and use abortions as birth control, those of us who can get pregnant know that that doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah,
it's not the truth. So this is the game changer because there are a lot of barriers to receiving, to being able to access contraception. And one is you can't afford healthcare.
Yeah.
So if you can get this over the counter, if it's affordable and available, then people are going to use it. And there is no age restriction on the oat pill. So 15, 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds, people younger than 18 are having unprotected sex. Mm-hmm. They're going to be able to get this medication too.
Anything else people should, so January is, it's not going to be available this year, but that's looking like January. Anything else people should know if they are thinking that this would be their chosen form of birth control?
Uh-huh. This is not the pill that we typically think of. So when we think of the pill here in the United States, we think of an estrogen progestin combination birth control pill. This is just the progestin. So it's the mini pill. For those of you who have breastfed, you may be familiar with the mini pill. It's a little pickier. It works by thickening cervical mucus and by preventing ovulation. So this does not cause an abortion. It prevents pregnancy. It's a little pickier because you have to take it at the same time every day. So you'll have to set an alarm on your phone or just have, if you have a regular routine, that makes it a lot easier. The risk of failure is a little bit higher than with the combination contraception pills. So again, using a second method is not a bad idea, like a condom for a second method. That also helps to prevent sexually transmitted infections. So that's always strongly recommended. But overall, it is a very effective form of birth control. And we in the OBGYN community, I would have to say, as a community of women, are thrilled
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Kirsten from Pentatonix. We've all learned how to cope with more time alone. With more time spent isolated or at home, the need for companionship has grown. If you've considered adding a pet to your family, please check with your local shelters and foster organizations. Stray pet numbers have grown immensely over the past several years, and the trauma caused to these animals is devastating. Adopt pets, they need us more than we know. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
This time next week, I'll be sick in bed with West Nile virus, thanks to a mosquito bite right in front of my house.
In 8 minutes, my daughter will be in an ambulance, having an asthma attack, triggered by cockroaches.
I'm going to be bitten by a tick today. I won't even know it until Lyme disease turns my life upside down.
Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association and the CDC.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Lows of aloft around 64 overnight under mainly clear skies. Winds out of the east around 5 miles per hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, highs level aloft around 94. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Tomorrow night, lows of aloft around 66. Mainly cloudy skies.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 73.
Na 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 na
to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And we are rounding out this Friday with our final guest, who I'm very welcoming back. We had Jacob Resnick, investigative reporter for Wisconsin Watch, on earlier this year when we were talking about the cryptocurrency mine up in, I am now blanking on which city it was in.
Park Falls.
Yes. But now we have you back because this headline caught my eye this week of your most recent story for Wisconsin Watch with the headline, Wisconsin Billionaires Quietly Bankroll Effort to Shrink State's Social Safety Net. You don't say. Well, you know what? I think we all knew that the Republican lawmakers have been trying to squash our social safety net. What seems more breaking news from your report is who is trying, is behind that, who is funding it, who would like to see that happen, not just in Wisconsin, but across the country. And so I guess not to, let's not bury the lead. What is the Foundation for Government Accountability and the Opportunity Solutions Project?
Right. Well, FGA is part of the State Policy Network.
Okay.
And there, which is this kind of sprawling, overarching, conservative network of foundations that have a very strong legislative agenda across the country, both federally and in state houses, and they have presences in pretty much all 50 states. FGA is one of the Florida affiliates. In Wisconsin, we know like the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, mm-hmm. Badger Institute. These kinds of activist law firms and think tanks are in Wisconsin, but FGA is based in Florida, but they've branched out, and so now they've got lobbyists pretty much in almost every state house. They've got three retained lobbyists in Wisconsin, two of which are in state. They've got staff here, and I think they've got about 115 staff members across the country, and they're bankrolled by tens of millions of dollars from Bradley Foundation in Milwaukee. And also Liz and Dick Uline, who, you know, were also very active in, for example, the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. And they also get money from other foundations that also fund things like ALEC, who do like the model legislation around the country, was big as well. And, you know, so that's basically who they are. Opportunity Solutions Network is their lobbying arm because nonprofits, which are 501c3, are very limited on how much direct lobbying they can do. So they have like a branch, which is a 501c4, which is also a black hole for where the funding comes. But they share office space. I've got, you know, the business card from the communications director, who's a former comms guy for the state legislature.
Adam Gibbs.
And he has FGA. But then when he testifies, when he does his lobbying, he says, well, I'm actually a visiting fellow for Opportunity Solutions Network. And this is something that actually, it's a problem on across the political spectrum, across the ideological spectrum, and it's not something that the IRS is just not enforcing.
So that was going to be my question, because I do want to get to the intentions behind, you know, some of the bills that this group has been behind, but the secrecy around their funding, how they're allowed to kind of coexist and have a separation, wink wink, between their lobbying division and their nonprofit division. Unfortunately, that is something that is happening also with left groups as well, right? As far as when we think about some of the really big donors and how donor tables and funding kind of happens when it comes to politics, like, it's murky across the board, is my understanding.
Yeah. It is. And there was a Supreme Court case in the last year or so that basically codified the fact that nonprofits don't have to disclose their donors. And, environmental groups like Sierra Club, for example, the early policy came, I think, during the civil rights era when a deep South state, I forget which one it was, I think it might have been Alabama, tried to subpoena for the list for the NAACP. And you know, to try to find who the civil rights activists were in their state, you know, and there was like, there's real privacy concerns. So I mean, this is going back and forth about like donor concerns, the rights of, the rights of affiliations and things like that. But that legal argument has now morphed to allow, you know, super mega donors to hide their money in very politically active foundations like FGA.
Yeah. And so with in you said it in the article and you said it just now, but because you said part of the reason why they, I get my words, getting away with it is because of the underfunding, understaffed nature of the IRS right now. So technically, some of the things they're doing, they shouldn't be doing, because if the IRS was funded and staffed, they would be catching them?
And make it a priority as well.
Okay. Well, that's great. Yeah. Great. But those 80,000 IRS agents are coming to get you. So good thing we stripped that from happening.
What a relief.
So to back up a little bit, because we in Wisconsin, and I want to get to some of the bills that they've backed and been behind, but because we have Tony Evers, we have split government, they've been less effective here. So in some of the other states where there's not split government, what are some of the other examples where FGA has been behind bills that maybe some of the bills that have made national news?
Well, they were successful in, I think, in Arkansas to loosen child labor protections, for example. There is also in South Dakota as well. It's still in the Missouri House right now. It hasn't gone that far. They've been also very active in election laws in Wisconsin and also in other states about trying to increase voter ID kind of things and different checks. There was an idea of having two different voter rolls here in Wisconsin. One, so if you're taken off the voter roll, you'd be like permanently purged. And so then clerks would have to bring you back. Clerks would actually have to have two rolls, like, oh, used to be. And, they pushed that idea that was considered problematic by the nonpartisan clerks in Wisconsin. They're also very against Medicare expansion. Medicaid expansion. One of the initiatives that they pushed against was automatic re-enrolling in Medicaid, so that if you're eligible for Medicaid, you have to proactively like go to your state government website. Anyone's ever had to try to access benefits in Wisconsin or other states, it's usually not that simple. And so the argument goes, people who are already have enough problems and are living on the crack, that might not have the means or the education or the time or the wherewithal to do that kind of thing. So they'll just fall for the wayside. I mean, they're very ideologically driven that the state social net is holding people back. And this argument that having unemployment insurance keeps people on the couch. That was an argument that was put forward a lot during the pandemic when there was extra federal, the PUA came through and there was extra money and it was also extended. Although, after the smoke cleared, I was just looking back at the research and found that the worker disincentive kind of scare stories was not borne out in the data. PUA did not keep people from returning to the workplace. Because there were some states
that actually... Can you say that again? Because I feel like it's worth repeating. What did the data say?
That the expanded unemployment insurance benefits were not keeping people out of the workplace. It was other factors, And there were some states that actually... said no to the extra federal pandemic money. And this is what the studies were looking. They looked at the states that said no for the money and the states that kept the money, and they didn't find much difference in their employment rates. So FGA has been pushing this for a long time. As you said earlier, there was a raft of bills, UI overhauls that Tony Evers, the governor, vetoed last session. And FGA's urging Republican lawmakers in Wisconsin have brought many of them back, these same initiatives back, and where they recently passed the legislature, and we'll see what the governor does.
And so you said it before, but just as a reminder, as far as there's certain bills like you said, some of them are voting bills that we see bubble up. Some are Medicaid expansion. Some are... unemployment. So there's been different bills at FGA's. Is the correct way to form, is it that they backed it or that they drafted it? Because like you said, Alec as an organization is someone who just like writes these state bills and then shops them around and like some words get changed. Is that what this group is doing? Or is it more just, hey, you should look at this?
No. That's interesting because I looked for that like model legislation. There is one bill that hasn't advanced very far in this session that would rename the unemployment insurance to reemployment assistance. And that's something that Florida did like in 2012. I found South Dakota also did in like a few years later. So that, it's the same idea that But I didn't see any evidence of other like cut paste kinds of things. And when I talked to Republican lawmakers, they said, no, that we can't really, that usually doesn't work out very well because the one size fits all. But what they do and what they've been very open about is having these kind of legislative conferences and these education meetings. Well, they'll fly lawmakers, almost always Republicans from different state houses to a 2-3 day summit. The last one was in Nashville. Last December, there was one in Florida. And then they'll have them for 2 or 3 days. They give them dinner. They pay for everything. And then they just say, look, and they talk, and they talk. They get them in our room where everyone agrees with each other. And this is our agenda. And you've probably been hearing from your constituents about, can't find employees, can't find workers, this worker shortage. And then they say, well, these are our solutions. And so when I talk to Republican lawmakers, they a lot of them very earnestly feel like they're responding to their constituents' concerns.
Oh, that's interesting.
But you've got groups like FGA that have the spoon, that they're spoon-fed solutions. Which honestly, what we've seen that the data and when you talk to experts, it doesn't comport.
We're talking to Jacob Resnick, who's an investigative reporter for Wisconsin Watch, about his newest article, "Wisconsin Billionaires Quietly Bankroll Effort to Shrink State's Social Safety Net," and that's interesting what you just said, because I always think it's like you. All of the data that comes out, because we're still at 2.4% unemployment, which is record unemployment for Wisconsin. We still have a bigger labor participation rate compared to most states, I think, as far as working age people. So in a lot of actual measurements, people are working in Wisconsin, and the problem becomes more like we need more people. And yet the like adherence to... there's some magical group that is just, if we could just get them back in the workforce, these things would fix. And so you're saying, like, it's actually some of these Republican lawmakers you've talked to have said it just doesn't compute, like that they believe that the latter is the truth.
Well, they'll say, my constituents call me and they say, we have all these vacancies on our main streets and we don't have people. And there are real and they'll even say, and we know that there are demographic reasons for this. And you talk to DWD and they say, exactly, it's demographics where people are aging out, leaving the workforce. Mm-hmm. People are, and then there's also other structural challenges, affordable housing, transportation, childcare, things like that, that keep people out of the workforce. But FGA and groups like those are not interested in any of those kinds of solutions. Their solution is to cut what's left of the social safety net and to force people back, work or starve, basically, to put it very cut and dry.
Very cut and dry. So I guess we only have a couple minutes left, Jacob, but what kind of triggered you looking into this as far as... in the, as we said, the last thing you were looking at was crypto mines in Park Falls. So what brought this to your attention and was like, this is worth more people knowing about?
I've always been kind of on a labor beat, and I'm always very interested in the unemployment insurance and how much of that is a factor for the workforce challenges in Wisconsin. And I was in Madison when these bills came up, and I sat in the hearings and I was just really kind of impressed and kind of awestruck how quickly they were rushed through and how this organization that I had never heard of had so much clout and pull and had almost backslapping, like, well, who are these guys? And I didn't know at the time when I was seeing in the hearing, but a lot of the leadership and people in the bills, though, the week before, they'd been there, the lawmakers had been their guests in Nashville, Tennessee for like a 2-3 day, I think it was a 2-day or 3-day summit. What other lawmakers? So they had been well briefed and they already knew what they were going to do. And so when it came down to actually have the hearing, there was very little discussion except from minority party. And so I was like, how has this happened? That's what led me to look into FGA, who these people are and how they operate.
Well, super interesting. Thank you so much for writing the article. Thank you so much for joining us today. Jacob Resnick is an investigative reporter for Wisconsin Watch. Have a great weekend. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Kristen. Bye.
All right. We'll be back after the break.
Dynamite! Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crew to tase at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were Crudy Takes.
Crudy's Takes. See, man? It all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
What did I miss? Virginia, my home sweet home, I want to give you a kiss. I've been in Paris meeting lots of different ladies. I guess I basically missed the late 80s. I traveled the wide, wide world and came back to this.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And it is that time on a Wednesday when we get to Greg's Roundup.
That's right. Also known as the Badger Times Journal Report. 3 to 4 to 5 headlines that you definitely saw but did not read. Let's start with old wrestler news.
Oh.
WWE icon, reality show star, and sex tape haver, Hulk Hogan, is getting married for a third time. Huh? To his yoga instructor, Jennifer McDaniels. Now, when you hear something like that, first thing out of your mind is probably like, oh, God, how old is she? How old is he? No worries. Miss McDaniels is 49. He is 69. Nice.
Nice.
Which, yeah, I did all of that for that dumb, dumb, nice joke
dumb,
right there.
Dumb, that's 69 on, that's joke.
Exactly. Because you get my sense of humor. That's my new country song. Let's see here. Drinking with your parents news. This is not a Wisconsin story, by the way.
Shocking.
Actor and someone I'd love to hang out with, Kristen Bell, said on the Kelly Clarkson show that she and her husband, Dax Shepard, have no problem and allow their young children to drink non-alcoholic beer. She goes on to say, you can judge me if you want. That's your problem. But I personally am against this. Because it starts with NA beer. Then it leads to Flintstone vitamins. Then you go to candy cigarettes. And next thing you know, you're strung out on fruit by the foot.
Dun, dun, dun. What kid wants to drink NA beer?
You know, I honestly, what's funny is that my dad wasn't a drinker growing up. He quit drinking by the time I was around. And after mowing the lawn on a hot day, he'd have a Sharps, which was Miller's NA beer. And he gave me a sip once. And I was like, this is awful. You allow this in your body? I hate this.
And that's give me a root beer.
That's not even like a slam on any beers, which, by the way, have come a long, long way.
Yes.
But just like that taste. I don't understand how a kid, like, and their kids are like 8, 9. They're young. So they're like, someone give me a Clausthaler. I really.
How refined is this kid's palate? Jesus.
Crack open an O'Doul's. It's been a hard day in third grade. Ugh. Had a really bad test. I got a 79.
On that spelling bee.
Yeah.
Spelling's hard.
Yeah. And then finally, and this just came across the wires. And by the way, this is a very old reference. Creepy actor news. Today, on his 64th birthday, Academy Award actor and pure weirdo Kevin Spacey was found not guilty of seven sexual assault counts and two other offenses against four men. When asked what he would do after the decision, Mr. Spacey said, just patiently wait for the hubbub to die down, then make more movies, maybe get another Oscar nod, and then act as if nothing ever happened in the first place. And yes, I did just describe Mel Gibson's last 10 years. So, Mr. Spacey, welcome back to Hollywood.
There's hope for you still.
Oh, man. Now, and that's Greg's roundup. Any questions on the stories for today, kids?
The Kevin Spacey thing is disappointing.
Not shocking.
And I think Elton John and his husband testified on Spacey's behalf.
Really?
Oh, mm-hmm. It's not on. Elton John has interesting friends and opinions. He's written amazing songs. He's done great concerts. His work on AIDS alone. I mean, come on. But the man does what he wants. He says what he wants. He hangs out with whomever he chooses. And my big thing was that, like, when he got accused of it back a long time ago, the day he decided to make a statement, he's like, I'm also gay. And I'm like, what are you doing right now? Why are you doing this? Yeah. You are ruining it. You are making it harder now. You've made this harder for people.
Yeah. So. But I also, that's a different can of worms that I don't want to go down. But when you say that Elton John testified against Kevin Spacey.
For him.
Sorry. It makes me think of Felicia Rashad standing up for Bill Cosby.
And Malcolm Jamal Warner and everybody on that show standing up for Bill Cosby. Yeah. With the exception, I think, of Raven Simone. You want to watch a great documentary? We Need to Talk About Cosby by W. Kamau Bell.
I forgot that he made that.
Talks to a lot of the accusers. And what's interesting is there's someone on that show who you figure everybody who's on that show is going to be like, yeah, to heck with this guy. And he's terrible. And there's one guy telling these stories at the very end. He's like, but I've never had a problem with him. I've always loved him. I always love him. I'm like, oh, my God. Yeah. Their whole defense is always, you don't know. You weren't there. You know, all 50 to 60 women. You don't know. You weren't there.
I doubt they were in the room either.
Nope. So,
well, that got dark fast. Yes. But also I think it's an interesting segue into what we're going to talk about in the next hour.
We're here for another hour.
We are here until noon.
This feels like a present at this point.
Oh. It's always a present when you're here, Greg.
But
kind of tussling with the idea of, like, what is the difference between good trouble and actual, like, activism of standing up for something that you believe in and speaking truth to power and just being disrespectful, especially when it's not your home team,
not your home turf,
like when you're traveling abroad, when even when you're in like a different state, potentially, like depending on what you define as like your home turf of like standing up for something that affects you, that affects people in your community or state or country. And like, what is just being disrespectful versus what is standing up for something? Because there was a certain band that got in some trouble.
Some hot water
in Malaysia. So we're going to talk about that in the next hour, but you know, just noodle on that during the top of the hour news of where do you draw the line on that conversation?
While they're noodling, they should also know that they could call us or text us once they're done noodling.
Do you know the number by heart yet?
844-967 other numbers.
2789.
I don't know why I can't.
You're almost there.
I do not understand why I cannot remember this number. I work for this company now, and I'm deeply ashamed by the fact that I can't remember 844-976-2789. 2789.
And you remember this part? 844-96
party.
There you go.
But like, I should be like, the last four should be easy. 789. So now 844. Now I can't remember the next three.
If it makes you feel better, I think it took me a good 4 months before I didn't have to have a post-it note in front of me.
Can I tell you something? I don't even know the number of the Laughing Tap by heart.
But what's the Laughing Tap website?
Laughingtap.com. Thank God for asking that part. 877-977-2729.
We will get to that at the end of the show of what's coming up at the Laughing Tap coming this weekend. So stick around for the next hour. And we're also going to talk about EAA. We got a great hour coming up. Stick around. Jane Matinair is here. Greg Bach is here. I am Kristen Bry. And this is As Goes Wisconsin.
Something to say. I'm already on my way to get to the bottom of this.
What did I miss?
Mr. Jefferson, welcome home.
Mr. Jefferson, Alexander Hamilton.
Mr. Jefferson, welcome home. Mr. Jefferson, welcome home, sir.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.